Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 17 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading from verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's unite in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee in the place of prayer today. We rejoice in God's so great salvation, and we thank thee for the way that thy word opens up for us and directs our thoughts. We realize the depths of sin. We realize, O God, how wicked our hearts are. But we thank that there's a remedy at the cross, and we bless thee that men and women can find blessing and help there. We pray that each one might flee to the cross today, might see our Saviour, and know his power and grace and blessing. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Ralph Milton was in bed. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. And he was awakened by the sound of what seemed like somebody repairing a boiler on his roof. And he went out in his slippers. And he looked up on the top of the roof to see a little woodpecker bashing out his brains on the metal pole of his TV area. He was angry with the little woodpecker that had wakened him out of his sleep, so he took a rock and he fired it at the woodpecker, only to hear the distant crash across on the other side of the house as the stone hit his car. Then was very angry and decided to kick out against a clod of ground that was on the just in front of him, only to remember too late that he was still in his slippers. Uncontrolled anger, as Ralph found, sometimes brings its own reward. And there are people who have that real problem with temper. Anger has been described as the acid that destroys its own container. By that it's meant that it destroys the person that displays it. And it does that in more ways than one. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about anger. In fact, it has quite a lot to say about this subject. Now, some people would count anger as just a personality flaw. They would count it as something that they have and something that benights them, but it is just a personality flaw. Others maybe even don't count it as anything wrong at all, but glory in the fact that they have a short fuse. But I want you to see in the portion of Scripture that we have read today that the Lord condemns uncontrolled anger. He says here that if a person is angry with his brother without a cause, then he is in danger here. He says he's in danger of the judgment. And it is something that each one of us need to remember. We need to remember that God condemns unjustified anger. Now, as we see, there is a type of anger that is justified. But God here is speaking about unjustified anger. And we find here that there are people, and perhaps you think, well, I don't have a problem with that. I was described by one of our ministers recently as one of the most even-tempered among the ministers. He was trying to get me to do something that perhaps, well, that's the reason why he said it. But nevertheless, I have a problem with anger. There are many times when I have had a problem with uncontrolled anger. And I want you to think of some of the headlines that we've had in the past number of weeks. I wonder if you can think back to Tuesday week ago, there was a headline of 57-year-old Kevin Tripp, who was punched to the ground in a Sainsbury's store in Merton in South London. And his assailant thought that he had jumped the queue in the shop. And he was killed. Now, it was a case of mistaken identity. He wasn't the one that had jumped the queue. There was another case just at the end of last month. Tony Cook, 25-year-old forklift driver. And he was killed in a road rage attack in Luton. The two men got out of the car on the side of the motorway. And Tony Cook received a blow that eventually killed him. So anger is serious. And anger is something that God condemns. Uncontrolled anger. So, for a few minutes today, we want to look at this subject. Don't think that it is not something that applies to you. It applies to every one of us. And we see how the Lord condemns it here. And so, we need to look at what the Word of God says. The Word of God probes right into the very depths of our hearts and exposes what is there. Sometimes we mightn't like the things that are exposed. So there are a number of things about the subject of anger. Here is God's answer to anger today. And we want to get the answer to anger and the answer to temper. And the first thing I want you to see as we look at this subject is the condemnation of unjustified anger. Now look at what the Lord says in our text here, Matthew 5, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22 in particular, I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now notice how forceful those words are. The Lord doesn't hold back any when he is condemning anger. And when you notice the call that is made about our anger here, it's implied in this portion of Scripture, it is stated more specifically in other Scriptures, but you think of Psalm 37 and verse 8. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The Lord says, and he issues the command here, he says, cease from anger. You notice here in Matthew chapter 5 here that the Lord condemns it. It is something that is going to condemn you. It is something that's going to bring a heartache to you if there is that short fuse. Now there are people, as I said, that glory in their anger. One person, one woman one time came to Billy Sunday, the great American preacher, and she said, she tried to rationalize her angry outbursts, and she said to him that, well, it's nothing really. I just blow up and then it's over. And Billy Sunday said to her, well, he said, there's a shotgun that I have, and it sometimes blows up, and look at the damage that it leaves behind. But I want you to see that the Bible has quite an amount to say about anger. It says, cease from anger. And if we do not cease from anger, it is something that we're really denying the Lord, because the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 14 verse 17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says something similar. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. He that is calling you a fool, it's God that's calling you a fool. If you've got that temper, if you can't control it, if you fly off the handle, the Lord says, that's foolishness. But not only do we see the command about anger here to cease from anger, but I want you to think about the character of anger, because it speaks about a specific type of anger that is condemned here. Whosoever, it says, is angry with his brother without a cause. Without a cause. What is anger without a cause? Where do you see anger without a cause? Well, you see it everywhere. Now, there is such a thing as righteous anger. We'll come to that. But the vast majority of the anger that we display is unjustified anger. Rage is unjustified anger. There are people who just blow their top and get into a real tantrum. And very often it is because of something that they've misunderstood or something that they haven't taken in. But there's a trigger that just sets them off, and there's a rage. Maybe you say, well, I don't know what came over me. I really can't control it. Yes, you can. Have you ever been in the midst of an argument with somebody, and there you are shouting and telling another, and the phone rings, and you pick up the phone and you say, hello? Of course you can control it. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 15 and 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. And what does he mean by that? Well, he means that when you're angry, you can expect other people to be angry back. You will stir up strife. You see, there are people that say, well, it is better to get it out. Just better let it rip and then it's over. But no, the Bible says that when you are angry, when you let it out, you stir up strife. You stir up anger in other people. And there are people that are prickly, and there are people that you want to avoid, and people that you don't want to go near in case you say something. I've known people in the past, and you could say the most inconsequential things, and suddenly they are off. Well, the Bible says, don't do it. Rage is anger without a cause. Then revenge or retaliation is anger without a cause. You see, any anger that is focused upon a person rather than an issue is an offense to God. Sinful anger is the desire for revenge. It's that unforgiving spirit. It is that bitterness. Is there a bitterness in the heart? Maybe there are people that waited years to get even. That's wrong. That's sinful. The Bible says that we need to get right with our brothers. We're going to see it in a wee minute. But that desire for revenge, that desire for retaliation, that's anger without a cause. And then something else. Not only rage and revenge is anger without a cause, unjustified anger, but resentment. You see, there are people that blow up. There are people that get into a rage. And there are other people in their anger, and they let it smoulder. They let it just lie there. And it becomes a resentment. And it becomes a bitterness. And it just smoulders for months or for years. And that kind of thing, again, is condemned in the Bible. You think of what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Isn't that interesting? that it equates not letting the sun go, or letting the sun go down upon your wrath, that resentment, that keeping on at the thing, with giving place to the devil. In fact, it is the only thing in the Bible that is described as giving place to the devil. If you let that anger and that resentment bubble up in your heart, you give place to the devil. You're as good as inviting the devil to come and take control of your life and take control of your family. If you bottle it up and let it smoulder, it'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your testimony. You're giving place to the devil. You're giving him a foothold to cause all sorts of damage. There is that anger that is stored up. There is that bitterness. The Lord says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it sorted out. We need to watch giving place to the devil. Not only is there the call that is made about anger here, and the character of this anger, but I want you to see the contrast to unjustified anger. Because there is such a thing as anger with a cause in the Bible. You know, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and if you look at verse 26, now here is a command of the Lord to be angry. So there are occasions, some occasions, when you can be angry. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So, not only does he say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, but he says at times, be angry. There are things that are justified. Now, when you look at the awful drink trade of today, you see our young people being benighted by drink, doesn't that make you angry? You think of pornography that is being broadcast and displayed on our bookshelves. You think of the abortion industry, little ones being murdered. Doesn't that make you angry? It should make us angry. There was a time a few years ago when people complained, and it should make us complain, complained about the language that there was on the television, and the television executives had to sit up and take notice. We need to complain. Oh, you say, but I wouldn't like to complain. That's the point. We don't. We don't complain. But the Lord says, be ye angry. Be angry about sin. There is a righteous anger. There is an anger that we ought to have about things. The Lord Jesus was angry at times. He drove the money changers out of the temple with the scourge, who defiled his worship, who turned away from his name. There was an anger. And we need to remember too, unsaved person, the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth on those who reject him. There is a righteous wrath, a righteous anger. But I want you to notice, there is a condemnation here of unjustified anger. But then I want you to see something else. There is the consequence of unjustified anger. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to see the text again. Look at verse 22. He says, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall be his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. So there is the consequence here of judgment of God. And if you notice very carefully here, you'll notice that the Lord equates anger with murder. It is part of the murder family of sins. The Lord was talking to the Pharisees here, and he was saying to them, well, you think that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, has only to do with physical murder. He says, it's much more than that. If we think it's just physical murder, we're robbing the commandment of the depths of its meaning. No, he says, here's God looking into the heart, and he says, it's anger. You know, in our anger, there's a murderous intent. It might only last a second or two. But you think of that incident on Tuesday week ago when somebody let rip and had an uncontrolled bout of anger and killed that man in the Sainsbury's store in London. Anger is like any other sin. It is subject to the judgment of God. It will be subject to the judgment of God in eternity if our sins are not under the blood. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But anger is not something light. It's not something small. It's not something to be passed over. It is a sin in the sight of a holy and righteous God. But not only does it bring eternal consequences before God, but it also brings temporal consequences. It damages us. It'll damage our relationships, as we've said. It'll damage our families. It ruins families. I read an article by John Piper, and he said, and I quote, "In marriage, anger rivals lust as a killer. My guess is that anger is a worse enemy than lust." You say, if you're going to ruin your marriage, let anger in. Let resentment in. Let bitterness in. No, you've got to deal with it. Not only will it damage in our relationships, but it'll cause disease. There was a study done by doctors in Florida, Coral Gables, and they did a study of 18 men, and they had 9 healthy controls, but they tested these men to try and get them angry. They asked them, they put them through stress tests. They asked them about occasions when they'd been angry in the past, and then they put them through, they accused them of shoplifting and put them through a sort of interrogation in order to make them angry. And they measured them with sophisticated X-ray techniques, and the doctors were able to take pictures of the heart's pumping action when these men were angry. And they found that the amount of blood that went to the heart that was pumped to the bodily tissues reduced when the person was angry. Now, there's something about anger that's more potent than fear, and something about anger that's more potent than stress. The 18th century British doctor John Hunter, who pioneered the field of surgery and was the doctor of George III, suffered from angina. And he said this, he said, "My life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion." And those words proved to be prophetic, because one day he was in St. George's Hospital in London. He got into a heated argument with somebody, with some of the other board members of the hospital, and he went out and he dropped dead in the next room. So anger will not only do us eternal harm, it'll do us physical harm as well. Anger will damage. Anger will bring disease. Anger will defile. Most of all, it will defile. Do you remember, do you see what we read here in Ephesians chapter 5? You see what the Lord says just after a text? Look at verses 23 and 24. The Lord says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and come and offer thy gift." He says, you can't worship. You can't come to me. You can't bring your offering to the altar if you've ought against your brother. If there's something there, you can't come to the altar. You can't come and worship me aright. First, he says, be reconciled to your brother. Now, this is not a recipe. For harboring something about somebody for years and saying to yourself, "I cannot come and worship God aright because that brother there, that sister there has done me wrong." No, what is the command? First be reconciled to your brother. There needs to be reconciliation. Is there a bitterness against somebody? Is there an anger against somebody? Is there a wrath against a brother or sister in particular? First be reconciled to your brother. It hinders your worship. It hinders your communion with the Lord. So we notice the character, or the condemnation rather, of unjustified anger. And we notice the condemnation of unjustified anger. But what about the cure of unjustified anger? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible calls us to recognize what it is. It is sin. We need to see how serious it is. We need to see that it is something that makes God sad. It is something that God will condemn. It is something that brings forth the judgment of Almighty God. And that's the first thing. God sees right into the depths, and we need to see the depths to which our hearts sink. This is not just something to be passed over. We need to recognize that this is sin. Then we need to repent. We need to come and repent. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. It is that passage where we have said the Lord says, be angry and sin not. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, here's what the Lord says as well. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You notice really there's a progression there. There's bitterness. And then there is wrath and anger and clamor and shouting and evil speaking. Oh, you can't get to the point where you'll say anything. I don't love you anymore. You're an awful person. You say things that you don't mean when you get angry. The Lord says, let all that thing be put away from you. We need to put it away. We need to come to the Lord for His cleansing. And then not only do we recognize it and repent of it, but we need to repudiate it. You know what we said there? That when we are angry, we're giving place to the devil. Well, we need to take back the place that we've given to the devil. Has the devil got a place in your heart? Because of resentment? Oh, son, somebody has done me wrong. Somebody hasn't done the things that I wanted them to do. And you've let that bitterness fester. And you've let that anger run in your life until you've given place to the devil. And the devil's in. The devil's in. The devil's playing havoc with you. And you're harboring a grudge. You're harboring a grudge against a husband, a wife. You're harboring a grudge against your father, your mother. You're harboring a grudge against that person that was your friend one time. Let it go. Let it go. Say to the devil, I'm taking back that place. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm taking back the place. I'm bringing myself to the Lord, and I'm looking for the Lord's help. See, that's the next thing. Not only have you to repent, and not only have you to repudiate the sin, but you need to rely on the Lord. Maybe you've tried in the past to get rid of that resentment, that bitterness that is there, and you failed. The Lord will give you the strength, and the Lord will bring you through. You think of what it says in Proverbs 14, it says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. A Christian with a quick temper should not be. A Christian who is always losing the rag, that should not be. We should bring it to the Lord. We should bring that temper to Him. And thank God He will give us the strength to stand in this day in which we live. But what about you who are not saved? What about you who face the wrath of God? The wrath of God is holy. The wrath of God is eternal. Now you think about anger. Anger usually in a man or woman lasts for a moment. It's like a volcano. It erupts. And then eventually, very soon, it's over. But the wrath of God abideth forever. It never comes to an end. Men and women to be under that wrath is something that I would not like to behold. You come to the Savior today. The Bible says, flee from wrath to come. You come to the Lord. He'll wash your sins away. And He'll make you new. He'll make you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And give you the ability to stand for Him in this day in which we live. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee for the blessings that we have in Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, there's cleansing in the precious blood that washes whiter than snow. And, O God, we pray that Thou wouldst come and help us and meet us at the point of our need. Help us to glorify and exalt the name of our Saviour. Draw us nigh to Thee and write Thy word upon every heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.